Greetings and welcome to our Wednesday Rewind here at Believers City Church in Menominee, Wisconsin. Each week we gather here to revisit our previous Sunday message, moving away from that Sunday service monologue and into that dialogue of community discussion. The practical application of our living faith out there in the rural world. I'm Pastor Tim. I'm the senior preaching pastor here at Believer City Church. And if you're local, you are likely tuned to 101.7 FM, street level radio. And if you're further away, you are no doubt with us via the internet or even regional TV. However you got here, we're glad you did. Last Sunday, we were in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, and a message entitled Submission. Seriously? Let's jump in.
Actually went so far as to verbally state what I think countless other individuals were thinking but weren't brave enough to say it. All of those, stated or unstated, eventually departed. And they said it in a variety of vernacular, but the statement was given pretty much like this. I need something easier. I think we tend to judge the quote-unquote love content of any given message, any given statement, any given directive by how pleasant it is to our ears. If it's pleasant, it has lots of love quotient. Okay? If it doesn't, if it kind of makes us feel a little bad, makes us feel a little difficult, and somebody's kind of getting up on our face, all of a sudden, there's no love in that. Because we all know that the most important thing to Jesus is that we feel good, right? Not truth, not obedience, not holiness, not growth, just to make us feel all fuzzy and warm about ourselves. That's not my experience, that's for sure. Because the idea, again, of submission just runs contrary to the culture that we live in, especially now. It's thought of, again, as un-American. And the current events that we live in have made us so often quite ready to fight. Even kill if necessary. Submit? Not even remotely. Now, we may not count ourselves that extreme this morning, yet the truth is, the crime's the same, even if you only this morning are wearing the acceptable label of rebellious. The end result's still the same. Both fail to heed the words of Christ. Both fail to hear those words that Jesus said before Pilate. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here."
One time, C.S. Lewis, he remarked that a man's spiritual health is exactly proportional to his love for God. And indeed, that is a fact, despite our oft arguments contrary to such. We love to disconnect, if you will, the spiritual reality, the truth of our standing before God, from the actual true love that we hold and moreover exude on His behalf. But we know that a true love, a real driven love, if you will, cannot be stopped by even a herd of wild horses. You see, our passions will drive the day. That's a fact, and that fact's really not in question at all. The question lies in just what our passion is for, what our passion is being driven by, or perhaps we could say, do we have any passion at all, and for what? I have in the past remarked concerning the immense dedication, the commitment
the sacrifice of our military in this country. One might wonder, what exactly is their drive? What is their motivation? And indeed, why their submission to their duty to their country? And it is no doubt emanating from a simple, albeit profound, love for their country. And the same is true with the witnesses of the faith. Why are they so driven? Why are they so passionate and so committed and, yes, so submitted? Because their love for their Savior is driving them. They have surrendered to their Lord. In our easy Jesus age, you know, it's good to be faithfully and consistently reminded that the truth in following Jesus, and that truth is that it's not easy. It's not easy at all. It's swimming against the flow. It's swimming against the current and against everyone else who is simply floating downstream in life in this country. And yes, even in so far as the Western world, the idea of submission in any form just runs contrary to our nature. And not just in some passive way, but generally in a burn down the house fervor and with a when hell freezes over zeal. It's interesting that the very foundational aspects of Christianity have an overwhelmingly become the most rejected social aspects in our culture. Isn't that convenient? What a coincidence! You know, stuff like other-centeredness, groupthink community, discipline, morality, traditional family values, sacrifice, that self-sacrifice that is, and historical adherence to the faith, and of course, the issue we're dealing with today, and that's submission. Now, anyone who walks closely with Christ is keenly aware, all joking aside, that that's no coincidence. I mean, Satan knows exactly where to attack, and for decades, he's been that drip, 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 slowly pecking away at the foundation, the foundations of our community, of our social paradigm, as well as all of our religious aspect. And now the walls are collapsing and everyone in the world seems surprised and increasingly desperate. And they're desperate for answers that they would not, could not, even entertain, really, for to do so, to entertain those truths at this point in the cultural world we live in, would literally shake the world right underneath their feet. Look, Peter's calling upon these true believers to submit. Now, the Apostle Paul, he does the same in his writings, as does Jesus himself, and all of them model this directive as well as taught it. They didn't say one thing and practice something else. No, they lived it out. And moreover, none of them compromised this teaching or attempted in any way, under any circumstances, to actually lighten its load. The Jesus of such statements as, quote, let the dead bury the dead, you come and follow me, end quote, would not be, in fact, is not, the Jesus light version that is so popular in our day. I mean, Jesus, and certainly this pastor tonight, is quickly to call the listeners to count the cost. And I think many fail to do that, and thus many fail to finish the race. Oh, they can start it, but finishing it once the cost is, realized is a totally different issue. Now, neither Paul nor Christ nor I offer up any apologies or offer any addendums or any excuses or any free passes. Yet a great segment of the population will, in fact, continue to spend their lifetime looking for a loophole, seeking an easier road that will still take one to their desired destination, aka heaven. And we just don't get it, because no matter how many times it's said or how emphatic the position is offered, following Jesus costs everything. Following Jesus costs everything. Therefore, one's submission is not an issue nor a problem for that committed individual, because everything is already in the hands of Christ. So therefore, when it is a struggle, it's because we're attempting to hold out on Jesus. Now, let us know this today. No one is saying that the gang that Peter was writing to were just wimps or something. And I'm not saying that about you today either. I mean, you may be enduring some very difficult trials, and they in that day, perhaps again you now, were enduring some serious persecution. They were enduring some economic and social struggles because of their faith position. And yet, even with the Emperor Nero breathing down their necks, note that Peter wasn't letting them slide in this matter. Our staunch refusal to submit to God, to submit to church, to submit to each other reflects not only a lack of motivation, a lack of love for Christ, but it even expresses, quite honestly, an incredible level of pride and childlike self-centeredness and immaturity that one certainly expects from an unbelieving world. But sadly, this is often just as prevalent in those who confess Christ, at least confess them with their mouths, and yet they still reject him with their lives. Moreover, let's be truthful here today. We know that Jesus, we know that scripture, we know that all of it demands all of this submission issue of us clearly, and yet the fact remains, our refusal remains entrenched. There seems to be no reasoning this issue out to make it land in your corner. There's just one position, and it's abundantly clear, and that is the position of Peter. And yes, that is the position, the position of Christ himself. And I will reiterate something I said on Sunday, and that is that I'm not sure I have ever clearly brought an individual back from that entrenched position. It, as I said on Sunday, again, it's like a stage 4 cancerous pride, a stage 4 stubborn heart, and inevitably, it just seems to be terminal. So what am I doing here today? Well, if we can catch a person today that is still able to see the truths and able to still step back from the brink, well, then in my opinion, it was worth the effort. Now, as we mentioned on Sunday, the issues here, they're not complicated. They're not nuanced. The rejection of submission is quite simply childlike rebellion. It's an attempt to make an end run around the teachings of Peter and around the teachings of Paul and around the teachings of Jesus. And in doing so, we're found so often to be reinventing Christianity. And listen, this is a core belief of Christianity. This is a foundational element of Christianity. So when you start to reinvent Christianity void of issues like submission to Christ, you have to do so from the ground up. You have to remake Christianity from its very foundations. You know, principles like Jesus first, that's out. total surrender, oh, we don't do that anymore. Dying to this world, no way. Holiness and obedience, not so much. The issue is certainly not a scriptural nuance again, but rather a core teaching for which so many other teachings and scriptural directives are built upon. Meaning, without submission, the whole thing starts to fall apart because each of the concepts of Christendom are built upon one another, and they begin on this one. So the whole matter of submission really comes down to this. Is God in control or is he not? Now, be real careful with your answer, because if you answer yes, God is in control, but you still are unwilling to submit your whole life to that control, well, man, that's about as self-condemning as it comes. If God is indeed on the throne, if God is indeed at the helm, then what have we to fear? To rebel and to hold out in this matter simply says that we just won't acquiesce under any circumstances. When we still take the position that this is my life, and then it doesn't belong to Jesus. And if it doesn't, then it is a quite simple step wherein I have no confidence at all that you are a born-again Christian. I know you stage four folks, what I just said to you is going to sail right over your head, or you'll just angrily stomp on it. But others who are just venturing into this thinking, for you, there's still a cure out there, and maybe you're considering what I'm saying right now. Look, when our faith becomes about these things of my feelings and my rights and my plans, then it fails, therefore, to be about the submission and the sacrifice and the obedience and the self-centered living that is proof of the outpouring of the Spirit's presence and influence in my life. We're called to submit, not because the government is so righteous. We're called to submit not because our boss is so great, and we're called to submit not because our church leaders are so perfect, because as I said on Sunday, they're not. We're called to submit because of the Lord's sake, because it's impossible to please him without faith, and this is where the rubber meets the road. Do I have faith that he's in control? And please note that throughout Scripture, we're not being simply asked for this. We are being demanded this.